It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. From Flint's water crisis to the continued calls for actions on Lake Erie's algae problem, the safety of water in the Great Lakes region has taken top billing in environmental news this month. On the phone to talk to us about those stories, Great Lakes commentator, journalist Gary Wilson. Welcome back to Current State, Gary.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you with us. Without a doubt, the biggest story of the month was the water crisis in Flint, at least here in Michigan. The state recently approved millions of dollars to switch Flint back to the Detroit water system after water from the Flint River was, of course, shown to be corroding water pipes and leaching lead into people's drinking water. You've been following this issue for a while. What was your reaction to the crisis as it unfolded?
That's right, Mark. You and I have talked about this a couple of times since January. My initial reaction was that of many people that I talked to, which was, how could this happen in the most economically advantaged country in the world here in 2015 and in a state surrounded by, you know, the largest supply of fresh surface water on the earth? We're all familiar with that statistic. And we're talking about safe drinking water in Flint, Michigan, and we're failing to provide it for the citizens of Flint. And my second thought was bewilderment at Michigan's reaction as the crisis unfolded over that considerable period of time. There appeared to be no sense of urgency or recognition of the seriousness of the issue. Flint's water quality problems had become a national story covered by the New York Times in late winter of this year. But then Governor Snyder's emergency manager, Jerry Ambrose, at the time, was more focused on economics and was quoted in the Times story, and I'm quoting here, "To me, the conversation we need to be having is, how do we lower the rates? With public safety in play," that was a curious response. It jumped off the page for me.
The state had initially assured residents that there was no indication that there was any health risk from the water, but research by a local pediatrician showed significantly elevated levels of lead in children's blood there. There's been question about whether or not the state might be on the line for damages. You looked into the legal implications of this situation. What did you find?
That's right, Mark. I talked to Nick Schreck, who directs Wayne State University's Environmental Law Center in Detroit, about the potential legal ramifications and liabilities, if any. Schreck told me that the Flint water issue is, and I'm quoting here, a public health disaster, and the handling of it will certainly receive legal scrutiny by any number of people. What Nick Schreck did say was that, in general, government officials are immune from citizens' suits, but there are exceptions. Citizens and lawyers wanting to sue will be looking for evidence that Flint and Michigan officials ignored warning signs, did the mistakes they made, and they have admitted to them equate to negligence, and that's part of the test. If that's the case, citizens may have a basis for a legal remedy. Schreck said, because it's lead poisoning, which has a direct impact on public health over a long period of time, he wouldn't be surprised to see a class action suit in the future.
Has the Flint situation sparked a broader discussion about water infrastructure?
It has. Michigan State economist Eric Scorsone told Atlantic Magazine that Flint's problem is a common problem nationally. He said, as a society, in this article, he said, "We've neglected infrastructure and maintenance needs." And that's no surprise. All you have to do is think Michigan's roads.
We're talking about October's biggest environmental stories with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson. It's Current State's Great Lakes Month in Review. Have environmental groups been weighing on this topic at all?
Environmental groups, not a whole lot, Mark. It just hasn't, these types of issues haven't been at the top of their radar. Sierra Club has been involved in some environmental justice issues in the Detroit area, especially, but there hasn't been a whole lot of environmental group activity in Flint.
There's been specific concerns about water infrastructure when it comes to schools as well. Could you revisit that with us here? Why is that?
Well, the Detroit News reported 2 days ago that there's a gap between the state and schools, with each relying on the other to raise the red flag about these problems. School officials have been assuming that if the water comes through the pipe, it's safe. State officials say they don't test in schools unless alerted to a problem by a specific school. That's a gap that needs to be addressed. If any good can come from this Flint crisis, Mark, it's hopefully, and I tend to be a skeptic about this until I see the proof, that honest discussions on these life-threatening problems can take place with the sense of urgency that they deserve. You know, the Great Lakes region has had two drinking water crises in the last 2 years, Toledo in 2014 and now Flint. I think it's time for some soul-searching on what we value and how we want to be perceived. You know, we need to be positioning ourselves as more progressive and forward-looking, than otherwise we're going to be perceived as being stuck in the Rust Belt era.
The big news from Canada this month was the election of Liberal Party candidate Justin Trudeau to the position of Prime Minister. Environmental groups in Canada had been extremely critical of the current Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. How do they feel about Trudeau?
Well, they feel better. There's an overall sense of relief and cautious optimism. Relations between outgoing Prime Minister Harper and environmental groups were combative at best and, you know, non-existent at worst. With Trudeau, the groups have been promised access and dialogue, and that his new government is willing to work with them, whether they always agree or not. So they're looking forward to the relationship.
Has Trudeau himself given any indication of what his stance on environmental issues might look like? I mean, was the environment a significant part of his platform?
No, and it never is, and that's not a surprise. In these high-profile elections, people just don't lead with environmental issues. But, you know, and Trudeau has been a supporter of the Keystone XL pipeline, cautioning that he tends to do it in an environmentally safe way if it comes to be. He did commit to restoring financial investment in scientific research, and that was an area that had been cut by the Harper administration. And I have to say that while Trudeau understands the current need for fossil fuels, he's also of a generation. He's only 43, pretty young to be the prime minister of a big country like Canada. He understands the need to invest in renewable energy sources as we go forward. So people are generally optimistic.
The United States, of course, shares the Great Lakes with Canada. Does Trudeau's election have any implications for water policy in the Great Lakes Basin?
I think it can. You know, one area where Great Lakes activists in the U.S. have been frustrated with Canada is the lack of financial investment in Great Lakes restoration. The Obama administration, as we've talked about here many times, has invested almost $2 billion in the lakes since 2009. But there's been no reciprocity from Canada, even though, as you said, the lakes are a shared resource. So activists are hoping for a change of course there from Trudeau. Now, when it comes to money, that's always a heated discussion, no matter which side of the border you're on. So we'll have to see how the young prime minister does.
Gary Wilson is our guest. It's Current State's Great Lakes Month in Review. Environmentalists in Ontario and some here in Michigan and the United States have been quite critical of a proposed nuclear waste dump near Lake Huron, as have our two Michigan senators, Gary Peters and Debbie Stabenow. Will Trudeau's election have any impact on the fate of that project?
Well, that's to be determined. The decision on that was pushed back until after the election, and the Council of Canadians, Canada's largest environmental organization, is reporting that that decision was pushed back until December. The Council of Canadians is reporting that Trudeau plans to have his environment minister in place by early November. So what does that signal? I don't know. It's hard to read the tea leaves, but I suspect it means that the issue is on its radar. And you have to know that environmental groups on both sides of the borders, above the border, plus politicians will be, you know, making their case to Prime Minister Trudeau.
Finally, a water quality issue that continues to be a rallying call for environmentalists on this side of the border, the algae blooms in Lake Erie. Environmentalists want to force state action when it comes to limiting the amount of runoff reaching the lake. How are they planning to do that?
Well, they've called on the U.S. EPA to declare Lake Erie impaired. Impaired is an official designation under the Clean Water Act, and once a body of water like Lake Erie, in this case, is declared impaired, it would require Ohio and the U.S. EPA to set measurable limits on the amount of algae-causing phosphorus that the lake can take. So it would be a big move.
Gary Wilson is an environmental journalist and commentator who focuses on the Great Lakes. Once a month, we check in with him on current state's Great Lakes Month in Review. Thanks, Gary. Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.